Hey, welcome back. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. I'm Jennifer, and we are in a wonderful study through Acts. Today is lesson one, and it's day four. We're going to be going over Acts chapter 9 through 12. Wow. during this first couple of weeks in our Acts study, we're just zooming through, right? We're just taking four chapters a day, answering a couple of questions just to immerse ourselves in Acts. And this is an incredible few chapters. I mean, these four chapters are amazing. So it's going to be hard to just buzz through them so quickly. But those of you who have that kind of time that you want to just dig into it, I would encourage you to do that and jot your comments down. Speaking of comments, go ahead and say hi if you're just joining me right now and seeing me. Hello on Facebook Live or wherever it is. Say hi, drop a comment, let me know that you're here. I love hearing from you. And don't forget to subscribe down there in the YouTube box. Hit that subscribe button and then that alarm will chime if you, well, it won't chime. You can just tell it to chime or not to chime. But anyway, it'll notify you whenever I put up a new lesson. And if you're listening right now on the podcast, we're so glad you're all here. Thank you for joining me today in this lesson. I've got my coffee. It's a wonderful new day. And let's go ahead and get started with prayer. We'll jump into the lesson. Thank God for today. God, we do thank you for our day. Thank you for the word. Thank you for this time together. I ask your hand of blessing now as we move into this lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. We want that wisdom from God as we go through. Now, I'm really hoping that my microphone is doing a great job of just diffusing out all of the other sounds around me because my neighbor loves to power wash his car. He has this fabulous car collection over there. Anyway, and he just turned on the power washer, so I can hear it pretty loud, but hopefully you guys can. Anyway, here we go. I'm going to switch screens so you guys can see the lesson. Hi. And me. Hi. And let's go ahead on to lesson one again, day four. As always, we're starting with memorizing the word. Here is your memory verse. How are you doing on it? Are you doing well? I need to practice it. You know what I'm going to do today? And don't let me forget. I'm going to handwrite it onto a couple of post-it notes, and I always do better when I have it on my mirror or have it posted in my car, and then I can see it and just think and think and think about it and get it stuck in my brain. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Get it? Got it? Good. All right. Our lesson will move on together through our scripture focus, which is Acts 9 through 12 today. And here's your tip for today. And I have a visual. Ta-da! This is a colored pencil you've heard me talk about before. It's a Pentel 8. It gives you 8 colored pencils to in one. And you can see the study notes on page 4 of this lesson. And just to kind of give you ideas of how to highlight in your Bible, I have a couple of my Bibles here. And whether it's a study Bible or here's a page out of Corinthians. You guys see that? Okay. I switched over to not having the green screen because then I can hold up the Bible and easier to see things like that. Anyway, I just wanted to show you that it's a great way to keep yourself organized. If you always go through your Bible and you're seeing things in blue, you go, oh yeah, that's right. That's a good reference to God. Or if you're seeing red, that's a good reference to Jesus. It just helps. So get this pencil. It is a Pentel 8. I highly recommend it. That's your tip for the day. All right. At the back of your lesson, I'm going to go ahead and hop back there real quick. I've given you a couple of pages called Write the Word. It says it right down here. Write the Word. We are writing Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 28. So take time to do that today. Let me hop back over to lesson 4 and write out your word and show us the progress because that'll help encourage other people to do it as well. Don't forget to join our group on Facebook and you can share your progress in that Facebook group. If you're not on Facebook or any social media, no worries. It's still encouraging to just even for me to receive a text with a photo from you of what you're doing, what you're up to. Give me a snapshot of your day, of your life. You get to see a little bit of mine. I'd love to see where you study and what that's like for you. As always, when we're reading, we want to be thinking about God, what we're learning about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, how we're incorporating that into our own spiritual life, and then any other ideas, thoughts that God gives us. I know I give you a really small space right here, but take a moment to write that down in that space to the right. Okay, Let's begin and just read through the questions so we know where we're going. Acts chapter 9, we're going to name three miracles from the chapter. Chapter 10, we're going to look for the big shift. Chapter 11, just going to look up Antioch in your Bible and who was this guy named Agabus? All right. And then underlining the word Christian in this chapter, every time a new word shows up for the very first time, I try to make sure we notice it and underline it. And I'd like to train you as you're reading the Bible to notice new things, repeated themes, and start reading the Bible like a true student of the word. Finally, Acts chapter 12, who's Rhoda and how did Herod die? Here we go. Let's head on over to Acts 9 and begin reading there. And then we'll hop back over. Oh, by the way, just so you see, in case you didn't notice, I switched the settings and I added red letter this time since we're going to hear from Jesus in this chapter. Remember, red letter just simply means the letters, the words that Jesus spoke, and you can see them in red. Isn't that nice? Here we go. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. But Saul, if you remember where we left off on chapter 8, we heard a little bit from Saul at the end of Stephen's life. And now we move forward. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, I'm going to underline that, that's an important reference also, if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Wow. Oh, man, it's just amazing to think about that actually happening. All right, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight and the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Here we go. And for some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Oh, so exciting. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day by day in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. Oh, I remember that Sunday school lesson so well when I was a kid, and the book they read to us with the pictures of Saul going down in that basket just like flashed in my brain just now. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists. You remember that from previous chapter, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Oh, I love that sentence. Oh my gosh. Okay. So now as Peter went there, here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, and I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that right. I hope I am. Aeneas. I'll look it up later. Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. There's another word. I'm not 100% sure. Lydda? Lydda? I think it's Lydda. Anyway, and now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. Dorcas. Yay. I'm going to highlight her. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became ill and died. And when they washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Excuse me. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. All right. So, we'll pause there because here is chapter 10. All right, back to the lesson. Three miracles from this chapter. Well, we see right straight off the conversion of Saul, the healing of, what was that guy's name? I forgot his name already. Aeneas, and then Dorcas's healing as well. Powerful restoration. All right, chapter 10. What big shift happens here in chapter 10? We're looking at that shift to happen. So pay attention as I read that. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, almost said centaur. That would have been really interesting. There's a miracle. Those of you listening on the podcast, you can't see, but I just took a nice big sip of coffee, and here comes my second one. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. A devout man who feared God with all his household gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the household atop the sixth hour, about the sixth hour, to pray. And he became hungry and wanted to eat something. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air, and there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, What God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Wow, right? Right there, as we're getting ready to eat, he goes into this trance. Fascinating. All right, so now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I'm the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with them, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago about this hour, I was praying at my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, but God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made to him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked him to remain for some days. It's quite a chapter, isn't it? All right, let's hop back over. So what is this big shift in chapter 10? That the gospel is going to the Gentiles. The Jews, that would have been a huge shift for them. And they're anointed with the Holy Spirit, and it just explodes. Again, it continues. The seeds of the gospel are continuing to move now from the Jews to the Gentiles. All right, so let's move over now to Acts chapter 11. And are you making notes? Are you thinking about what you're hearing and learning about God and who God is and what he does and how he loves what Jesus is saying and how he connects and loves what the Holy Spirit is doing? And we see the three persons of God there active and moving and creating a dynamic change and creating new creatures in his name, right? And then, of course, spiritual life. And what are you learning about that as we move forward? Don't forget to write that down. All right, chapter 11. So now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me, looking at it closely, observed animals and beasts of prey, reptiles, birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel stand at his house and say, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, and you and all your household. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Then they heard these things and they fell silent and glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Wow. That's part of the big shift also, isn't it? All right, the church in Antioch. So now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists. Remember, those were the Greek-speaking Jews, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all to remain faithful in the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So important. Now, in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be great famine all over the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So our question here in chapter 11 is a couple, or action really. Find Antioch on your Bible map. I went ahead and called up a map here. And here we have Jerusalem, Damascus, Syrian Antioch, and Tarsus, which is the Antioch mentioned here in this story. And then I looked up Agabus and did a little further research on him. A great resource I use, you might be interested in, is called gotquestions.org. And you can see they have a brief article here on Agabus in the Bible. But from our reading, easy enough for you also to see that Agabus stands up and foretells about this great famine. So he was a prophet and he warned everybody about this famine so that they could be prepared. All right. And then finally, we want to underline this word Christians, which is the first time that the disciples were referred to as Christians, right? Little Christ followers. All right. So here we go. And you can see by the heading, this is not going to be a fun chapter because we're going to lose some of our beloved disciples. But let's read Acts chapter 12 and remember who Rhoda is and how Herod died. And when we go back and deep dive into the study, we'll talk a little bit more about these guys as well. So about that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains and sentries before the door guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to him, "Dress yourself, put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." He went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision, you know, because he'd been seeing these visions before. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. They went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, Now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to the gate. They said to her, recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. And they said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But he motioned to them with his hand to be silent. He described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. Now, when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him, he did not find him. He examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Ugh. And then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. All right, now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They came to him with one accord. And having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. Remember, the famine was predicted. And on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took the seat upon the throne, delivered an oration to them, and the people were shouting, "The voice of God and not of man." Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down. Because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Wow. All right, here we go. So wrapping up our time together, who was Rhoda? Well, Rhoda was that sweet girl who came to the door and was super excited and then runs back and tells everybody who's praying. They don't believe her. About Peter being delivered. And then how does Herod die? Well, flat out, he gets struck down dead by God. All right. Great always to be with you. Don't forget to say hi, leave a message, and let me know that you've been listening and being a part of this Bible study. And always, until we meet again, know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.